This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to stand. Can we do that? I'm so glad you're here today. I mean that. I'm so glad you're here. I've been preaching a series of messages on the end times. And I'm going to continue this right up to Easter because, folks, we need to hear these messages. D.L. Moody said it best. He said, if the church knew the truth concerning the end times, nothing would wake the church up so much. He said, the devil does not want you to hear the truth. Let me tell you something, folks. This is what I'll put it this way. If we knew that Jesus was coming back in 2 weeks, you'd treat people different tomorrow. You'd be a better husband tomorrow. If you knew Jesus was coming back in 2 weeks, I'll tell you what, I bet I could announce service tonight and all of you'd show up. Amen? But here's reality, folks. He could come back today. He could come back today. So we're looking at what God's Word says. Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. Look what it says. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. General Douglas MacArthur, the great general who led our nation through World War II, said these words in 1945. He said, if we do not devise some greater and more equitable means of settling disputes among nations, Armageddon will be at our door. Armageddon will be at our door. Well, what General MacArthur said is a reality, because I believe from the Word of God that Armageddon is at our door. Now, what I want us to do, folks, I want us to take Armageddon, and I want us to take our Bibles, and I want us to see 5 things about Armageddon. The battle of all battles, the last battle, the great battle, Armageddon. And there's 5 things I want you to see, and I want you to listen close because this is important. The first thing I want you to see is the place. The place. Now, you've got to understand something. When we address the subject of Armageddon, it's only mentioned 1 time in the Bible. This word, Armageddon, you can read all the Bible, and you will find it here. Pastor, where is Armageddon? It's actually in northern Israel. It's 55 miles north of Jerusalem. Many times, I've taken groups, and we'd stand on Mount Tabor, or we'd stand on Mount Carmel, where Elijah defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. Or we'd stand on Mount Gilboa, and we would look out over that vast battlefield. The battlefield where 34 major wars have taken place. There was a man who battled on that battlefield. His name was Napoleon. This is what Napoleon Bonaparte said. He said, all the armies of the world could maneuver their forces on this vast plain. There is no place on earth more suited for war than this. That word, Armageddon, it actually means Mount of Megiddo. And Mount of Megiddo actually means Mount of Slaughter. Mount of Slaughter. Now, I don't know that I can totally put my mind around the framework of it, but the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 14, verse 20. The Bible says that this battle will be so great, the bloodshed will be so great, that blood from the battle will be to the horse's bridle. Can you imagine a battle and so many people involved? That blood is to the horse's bridle. According to Revelation chapter 9, verse 16, they will be a group, an army, that will literally have 200 million soldiers in it. Now you do the math. An army of 200 million soldiers. And the Bible says the blood from this battle will be to the horse's bridle. I see the place, but there's something else I want you to see. I want you to see the purpose. What is the purpose, Pastor Benny, of this great battle? Well, let me explain something to you. God promised Abraham the promised land. The Jewish people can trace their roots back to one man. They can trace their roots back to a man by the name of Abraham. The Jews came from Abraham. You know the story. 100 years old. Abraham, Sarah, you know the story. 90 years old. God said, I'm going to give you a promised child. I'm going to give you a promised child. And science said it can't happen. And the ACLU probably said it can't happen. And the medical field said it can't happen. But God leaned over the balcony of heaven and said it's going to happen. And I can just see Abraham and Sarah sitting in Cracker Barrel rocking chairs and diapers hanging on the clothesline. But God promised that he was going to give Abraham the promised land. And he said in Genesis 15 and 18, that land will literally spread from Egypt to the Euphrates River. But here's what's interesting, folks. God promised Israel that land. But here's what's interesting. That land that God said is for the Jews, it's been controlled by the Babylonians. It's been controlled by the Persians. It's been controlled by the Romans. It's been controlled by the Greeks. It's been controlled by the Ottoman Empire. It's been controlled by the Crusaders. It's been controlled by the Turks. It's been controlled by the British. But God promised that land to Israel. And here's what's amazing. God said in Zechariah 2 and 8 that Israel's the apple of my eye. They're the apple of my eye. They're my chosen people. And then he said in Amos 9 and 15, he said, I'll plant them upon the land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I've given to them, saith the Lord. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Israel back in the land, and they'll never be plucked up again. I'm going to put them back in the land, and they'll never be plucked up again. And folks, in 1948, after being dispersed in 70 different countries for 1,878 years, 650,000 Jews entered back into the land, and statehood was regained to Israel. They were put back into the land just like God said they would. Now get this. God said they'll never be uprooted again. I put them in that land. They'll never be uprooted again. When they went back into the land in 1948, the day after that, five Arab nations attacked them, only to be defeated by Israel. In 1967, a war took place. Egypt, Syria, and Jordan attacked Israel. Israel was outnumbered 8-1. But after 6 days, they defeated those three enemies and controlled four times more land than they did before the battle, because God said Israel will never be uprooted again. In 1973, on the day of Yom Kippur, it's the Day of Atonement. It's the most holy day for the Jewish people. They fast and pray and spend 25 hours worshiping God. Everything is completely shut down. Knowing this, this holy day, Egypt and Syria attacked. But ladies and gentlemen, within 1 week, those armies were defeated because God said, Israel will never be uprooted again. He that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of my eye. He that watcheth over Israel neither slumbers nor does he sleep, the Bible says. Now I want you to understand, what is the purpose of the Battle of Armageddon? Look what the Bible says in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I'll gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the Battle of Armageddon. That's the valley. There will I judge them for harming my people, my special possession, for scattering my people among the nations, and for dividing my land. At the Battle of Armageddon, the full wrath of God is going to be demonstrated on those that come against Israel. Not only those that come up against Israel then, but those that have came against Israel in the past. Because look what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. It says, he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Let me tell you something, folks. It's dangerous when we touch Israel. It's dangerous when a nation does not support God's chosen people. Because God said those that bless Israel, he'll bless. Those that curse Israel, he'll curse. I see the place. I see the purpose. But then I see the participants. Who will participate in this battle? Well, let me share something with you. In Daniel chapter 7, this was 2,600 years ago. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist is not going to be a Jew. He's going to be a Gentile. He's going to be out of the revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist will come from 10 nations within the revived Roman Empire. That may be Greece, that may be Italy, that may be Germany, that may be France or Spain. But the Bible tells us in Daniel 7, there'll be 10 nations, and the Antichrist will overthrow 3 of those nations, and the other 7 will submit to him. See, the Antichrist will start out as a European leader. He will eventually become a world leader, and then he will eventually become a global leader. Here's what's amazing. Revelation 16 and 12 says this. At the Battle of Armageddon, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. I don't know what that will be. I know in 1990, the Turks developed the Ataturk Dam. They said they could stop the flow of the Euphrates at will. I don't know what will stop the flow of the Euphrates. The Bible says this, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. When the Antichrist and his nations turn on Israel, the kings of the east, whether that will be China, Japan, India, or whether it will be Muslim nations in the east, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, I don't know. But the kings of the east will join the kings of the west, and the nations of the world will come against Israel. Now here's what's interesting. I see the place. I see the purpose. I see the participants. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see the plan. The plan. Look what Zechariah says. Zechariah says, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. Now look what Zechariah 14 says. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. So at the Battle of Armageddon, Israel will look north for no help. Israel will look south for no help. Israel will look to the east for no help. Israel will look to the west Surely America. Surely America. But all nations. So they look east, west. They look north and south. God's chosen people. Where else do you look? You look up. The Bible says when they look up, Revelation chapter 19, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Now, folks, this battle is different from all battles. You know, usually the general stands in the back, and he directs, and the army goes out and fights. No, no, no. This battle is totally different. The general goes out first. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sitteth on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Where do we come in? And the armies, that's us. Remember, that's why Lee say we're going to leave like Superman, come back like the Lone Ranger. And the armies, which were in heaven. See, we've been in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, for 7 years. And the armies, which were in heaven, followed him. What are we going to ride? We're going to ride white horses. Clothed in fine linen. We're going to be white and clean because we're going to have his righteousness. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. I tell you what, if that don't kind of stir your soul, your spoons fell out. Amen? I mean, that brings a tear to my glass eye. Amen? I mean, he just does something. Look, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture. What's his vesture? It's a prayer shawl. I'll tell you more about it. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh, because the prayer shawl flows down right here to his thigh. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, Pastor, what happens? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation. Somebody said to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, he said, President Lincoln, I hope that God's on the side of the North. And Abraham Lincoln said, I'm not concerned with God being on our side. I'm concerned with us being on God's side. I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, with us being on God's side. And I'm glad I'm on God's side. Amen? I know how this story ends. I've read the last chapter. Revelation chapter 19. Look what he says. And I saw the Antichrist, or the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. Folks, let me tell you something. There's going to come a day that God's going to level everything out. There's going to come a day that God's going to straighten everything out. You said, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this world's coming to. You heard it right here. I'll tell you what this world's coming to. This world's coming to Jesus. This world's coming to Jesus, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I'll tell you what it's coming to. It's coming to Jesus. That had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's the future. That's the future of the Antichrist. That's the future of the man that will lead the battle of Armageddon. What's going to happen? Oh, it's this simple, folks. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Many of you have been to Israel with me. By the way, if you don't get to go with me, it's okay. You're still going. Amen. Amen. If you don't go with Benny, you'll come with Jesus. Amen. Amen. That'd be a cheaper trip, by the way. Just come with Jesus. Amen. But Jesus is going to come back. Folks, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives, the highest point in Jerusalem. He's going to come back to the highest point of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says in Zechariah 14:2, he's going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. I've often believed that will be the greatest touchdown ever. Amen. He's going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that Mount of Olives will literally cleave in two. I mean, it would just cleave in two because of his holiness, because of his power, because of his presence. It's just going to cleave in two. As it cleaves in two, Scripture tells us he's going to walk down. I've walked it many times. I walk it every time I go to Israel. Every time I go to Israel, I walk down the Kidron Valley. And I think about there's coming a day when Jesus is going to walk down the Kidron Valley. And these stones are going to cry out. That's what the Bible says. The stones will cry out. They'll say, that's him. That's him. Oh, that's him. There's nobody like him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's the one we've been waiting for. That's him. And the Bible says in Isaiah that those trees, those leaves will come together and they'll clap their leaves. They'll clap in praise. They'll clap in praise because that's him. That's the one we've been looking for. He'll walk down the Kidron Valley. He'll walk up that hill to the eastern gate of the temple. The eastern gate of the temple, just inside the eastern gate. When the Ottomans controlled Jerusalem, they knew, they had heard the prophecy that he was going to walk through the eastern gate, so they sealed it up. They sealed it up so he couldn't get to the Temple Mount. But now think about this, folks. Think about this. A sealed tomb couldn't keep him in. And a sealed wall is not going to keep him out. Amen? A sealed tomb couldn't keep him in. A sealed wall is not going to keep him out. He's going to walk through that eastern gate. He's going to make his way to the Temple Mount. He's going to walk up and he's going to sit down on the throne of David and rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is none like him. Before every Sunday morning, before I preach, I usually preach on the treadmill at the gym, and I was having a great time today. I tell you what, if a mosquito had bit me about 5 o'clock this morning, it would have left singing, "There's power in the blood." Amen. There's power in the blood. I started just thinking about the Lord. I started thinking about how good he is. And I thought about how one day, Lord, it's all going to be leveled out. It's all going to be leveled out. I said, Lord, the first time you came, you were wrapped in swaddling clothes. But the next time, you'll be wrapped in a royal robe, dipped in blood. I said, Lord, the first time you came, you were surrounded by cattle and common people. But the next time you come, you'll be surrounded by the armies of heaven. I said, the first time you came, the door of the inn, Lord, I'm so sorry, but the door of the inn was closed. But the next time you come, the door of heaven's going to be open. I said, Lord, I know the first time you came, your voice was, your cry was just the cry of a little baby, but the next time you come, your voice will be as the sound of thunder and running waters. I said, Lord, the first time you came as the Lamb of God bringing salvation, but the next time you come, you'll come as the Lion of Judah bringing judgment. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, oh, hell, the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Him. God's got a plan, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. It's going to work out just like God said it's going to work out. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. It's just about home time, folks. This thing is wrapping up.
He said, Pastor, what's got to happen in order for all this stuff to happen? Well, let's look at the proximity, and I'm done. The proximity. Now, in order for this to happen, Pastor Benny, what's got to happen? Well, first of all, Israel had to be regained statehood. That happened in 1948. But even when they regained statehood, they didn't control Jerusalem. So that had to happen. That happened in 1967. In order for... there had to be a 10-nation empire. That happened in 1957. The European Common Market was established. What I'm trying to say to you folks, nothing has got to happen. Jesus can come today. And we ought to live our lives like he's coming today. Let me tell you something. If you knew he was coming today, you'd get right with God. If we knew he was coming today, we'd live different. If we knew he was coming today, we'd act different. We'd treat people different. We'd talk different. We wouldn't be near as judgmental. We'd help people while they're down, because that's what he'd want us to do. If we knew he was coming today, friend, he could come today. Why do you preach, Pastor Benny? Because people need Jesus. People need Jesus more than they need anything else.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, he's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.